It is time for the Detectivery State of Mind and Other Strange Things podcast.
911, what is your emergency?
I can't find my pants.
Stand by. We will dispatch you.
Hey, 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 welcome to the Detectivery State of Mind and Other Strange Things podcast. I'm your host, Detective Chuck. With me today in studios, my co-host, Detective Burke.
Good day.
And Sergeant RJ.
What up, bitches?
Welcome to episode number 85. Holy shit, 85.
I'm 85, dude.
We're on 85.
Gnarly.
Gnarly. But welcome to Detectivery State of Mind and Other Strange Things podcast. You can check our website out at detectiverysom.com. Find us on Twitter or X, as it's known now, Instagram, TikTok.
God damn it.
And you can email us your captivating and stimulating thoughts to detectiverysom@gmail.com. And you can go over to our website, go down to the middle of the page, click on a link. And you can get yourself some Detectivery State of Mind merchandise from teespring.com as well. We have on there mugs, t-shirts, sweatshirts. I guess I can have bath towels made.
Bath towels?
Yeah, I think they added bath towels.
Monogrammed. And
that's not weird.
Blankets.
Is that what it's called? Monogrammed? Is that the right word?
DSOM.
Monogrammed. Monogrammed bath towels.
Would they do like dish towels with pictures on them?
I don't know if they have dish towels. I don't remember.
You know, like those ones you see in like
Super. But I didn't do those, though.
Yeah. Except to have a dick pic on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a rocket ship.
I didn't add dish towels onto the thing, though. No. I didn't add those on.
Yeah. You could have.
I could have. I suppose I could go back in there and create another storefront.
Redo.
And add it. Well, see, what you do is you go in and you create storefronts and you add storefronts. So, like, you can add other products, and what it does, it takes your current product line and you add something to it. It creates a new storefront. Here we go into today's segment of the question of the day, which, God, I must have went through like 20 different ones, but this one here is the one I decided to land on. So you wake up tomorrow and realize you are the only person who remembers coffee exists. What do you do?
Where's the nearest bridge?
I mean, it wouldn't help to just go to the store and say, do you have any, like dried coffee beans?
What's coffee? What the fuck are you talking about?
What a nightmare, dude.
What a great film that would be. That would be hilarious comedy to wake up and realize you're the only one that remembers coffee exists.
Yeah. At what point do you start questioning your own sanity? Like, maybe it didn't exist.
And, like, you drive to Starbucks and they're like a juice bar?
Yeah. Yeah. Like a Jamba Juice, but like it's called Jamba Starbucks. Juice. Yeah, okay.
What in the hell is going on?
Or just tea everywhere. Just awful, awful tea.
And then someone's like, yeah, I do remember something about that.
Yeah. There's, like, some fringe conspiracy theorist group out there. You know, the true coffee believers unite. Yeah. The world was built around coffee. It's the big government conspiracy. Yeah,
we love coffee. In fact, we got it here right now.
Prost.
Prost. I probably should mention what today's show is about. Episode number 85 as we dive into this one. This one is called Music at Work and Quiet Leadership Quandary. Here's how this is going to go. But first, we need to dive into the briefing, the shift briefing, which this one's crazy, man. I just stumbled across this one. This is a weird story from history. Did y'all know that they crafted a plan to try to bring George Washington back to life?
I did not know that until this moment.
Was Mary Shelley involved? Or?
All right, so this is from History Channel. This is a story from the History Channel. The bizarre plan to bring George Washington back to life. A day here, I'll just read part of this. This is insane. Dr. William Thornton raced death across the frozen Virginia countryside on the morning of December 15th, 1799. If his horse could dash to the doorstep of Mount Vernon before George Washington, succumbed to sudden viral infection. The physician harbored no doubt he could save the life of his friend and benefactor. When he arrived and stepped inside Mount Vernon's drawing room, however, Thornton saw family and friends grieving over Washington's corpse. Frozen solid from the frigid temperatures since his death the night before. The bereaved told a shocked Thornton that he had arrived too late to prevent the former president's demise. No, Thornton thought. No, he hadn't. The brash doctor then startled the mourners by proclaiming that he could bring Washington back to life.
Amazing. So then it would be a religion, right?
It would be a religion.
Yeah.
Had he been successful?
Yeah, I don't know what would have happened.
The Church of George Washington.
So how is George Washington frozen solid?
But they didn't have, like, heat in the house?
Well, I mean...
1799...
Yeah, but you had fireplaces, and he was the president. They so probably just living in a fucking shack.
They put him in the snowbank outside. That's what I'm picturing.
Yeah, they probably saw him die.
Oh, he died. And maybe the freezing had a lot to do with his death.
Maybe they put him into a death room. They moved him into a death room.
Yeah.
Like after he died, they just put him in there so they'd know he'd freeze him and he wouldn't stink.
Oh, that's a refrigerator.
Yeah.
Just move the ham aside.
Oh, that's the sauna. Oh.
So anyway, so William Thornton was an accomplished...
Why does it smell like a pig roast in here?
They call Dr. Thornton a accomplished polymath, which I don't even know what
the
that is.
The fuck is that?
Hardly a quack or real-life Frankenstein, Thornton was considered a genius.
I'm going to Google that.
Says Jonathan Horn, author of Washington's End, The Final Years and Forgotten Struggle. He was a figure of the Enlightenment... A Thomas Jefferson-type character who believed that science and reason could solve almost every problem in the world.
A polymath is a person of great and varied learning.
Wow.
So it's a fancy way of saying he's pretty smart.
He's pretty smart. And as we know from history, he didn't succeed in bringing him back to life. So that didn't work out very well.
Oh, and funny enough, you know, polymath isn't the first thing that pops up when you write poly into Google.
Really?
Interesting.
Polymath.
Something about Mormons.
Oh, okay.
I mean, polygamy. They could bring him back and be like George Washington versus the Martians.
Or you could do like make George Washington like a zombie, but like a fighting zombie and have him fight Abraham Lincoln, the vampire hunter.
Yeah.
You have a crossover series. And they could team up, go into the future and fight Hitler, who's a werewolf.
That's amazing.
We just got a new franchise, boys.
But that is the briefing. That is just crazy.
Abbott and Costello meet George Washington.
Yeah. Bring George Washington
it's
back.
It's silent.
It didn't work out, though. So they didn't succeed.
Well, it sounds like they didn't even try.
Well, I don't know. I suppose they could have. I don't know. I guess.
Yeah.
I guess Franklin's you could have built there, like a lightning rod.
You got lightning and everything. Come on, guys. You friends.
Yeah. That's where George R. R. Martin got his idea for...
Oh, for the mountain?
Yeah. Bringing him back to life in Game of Thrones.
Bringing him back to life.
Yeah, I totally stole that from history.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we could... you could have a lot of fun with this if you could have brought him back.
Yeah.
Would that Battle of the fun? Network Stars featuring George Washington.
He's still Yeah, we brought him back to life like three times.
It's his only line.
All right, so here we go into this part one of this episode number 85, Music at Work and Quiet Leadership Quandary. So before I launch into the article that spawned this episode from policeone.com, I will start with this. So you're at work, enjoying your day, thinking to yourself, hey, man, I could really use some tunes to kick my mood up a bit. So what do? You listen to something. Could it be country, alternative, hip-hop, dubstep, rock, metal, thrash, punk, whatever it may be. That's your poison. Classical jazz? I don't fucking know. But if you
smooth jazz.
Does it matter, should it matter what you listen to or when you listen to it? So, okay, let's take it to another level. What if you are very religious? In whatever specific religion you practice, you listen to your featured music related to that religion. Let's say, let's take this to another level still. Mm-hmm. What if it's specific to your culture, your family, your heritage, or where you grew up in a specific time or decade? Or what if it's prescribed, yeah, from your therapist?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it sounds, oceans, forest sounds, certain type white of noise. Music or whatever it is, or even white noise. That remains to be seen. So
yeah.
What I will say is we will first describe kind of who Gordon Graham is. So Gordon Graham is the person who wrote the article on PoliceOne.com. He mm-hmm. is a common presenter on the website.
Yeah.
So like you usually have to scroll down to like the bottom of the page, and they have like presenter information and education and training, yeah. You know, that's
all the credentials.
So you go to PoliceOne.com. They have stories there and articles from presenters and trainers or whatever you want to call them. So Gordon Graham, if I go down to the bottom, it gives a little description of who he is. Gordon Graham has been actively involved in law enforcement since 1973. He spent really nearly 10 years as a very active, I like how they say that,
very
active motorcycle police officer while also attending Cal State Long Beach to achieve his teaching credentials, USC to do his graduate work in safety and systems management with an emphasis on risk management, and Western State University to obtain his law degree. In 1982, he was promoted to sergeant.
Accurate.
And also admitted to the California State Bar and immediately opened his law offices in Los Angeles. So that's who Gordon Graham is. Now,
I've seen him live.
I mean, he is good about, like, you know, how to put the policies together.
Sure.
But, I mean, at this point, what they're suggesting, let's say Chuck.
Yeah.
Well, Gordon, this is nothing personal against you, but we're going to tear you up.
Yeah, on this one. Unfortunately.
We are tearing you up on this one. So will your recording, the way this article on Police One is titled, playing music in the background of your police videos, will your recording have a soundtrack? If so, what does that soundtrack say about you as a person and as a police officer? Because I can listen to whatever music I want to, and you don't get to tell me what kind of person I am based on the music I listen to.
That's right.
So
that's right.
This is an attempt to further dehumanize police officers.
Yeah.
And make us look like robots that don't have any human personality.
Right.
This is the problem.
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and just give us the lobotomy so it takes any emotional response out of everything.
Right.
And we'll just kind of exist in this.
So what's he writing?
Yeah.
So what he writes in here is he said, chances are at some point in your career, you're going to end up in court between pursuits, the use of force, and everything in between. It's inevitable.
What?
Huh? Whether you land in court for a criminal case or a civil suit, chances are the video from your mobile video recorder, body camera, I don't know why he can't say body camera.
Well, because if you see in this, he got into policing in 1974. Okay.
Oh, there's that. Yeah.
So why we're still listening to this guy?
I don't know. So the video,
you guys turned down that Twisted Sister in there. What?
Twisted Sister.
You guys aren't allowed to listen to Queen while you're on duty.
Played for the judge and jury. So basically what he's saying is your body camera video, your in-car video, whatever it may be, could be played for the judge and the jury. Now, my key point here that I am going to point out real quick in this first paragraph is he says judge and jury.
Mm-hmm.
That pissed me off.
Yeah.
The most important people are the jury.
Right.
Not the judge.
Right.
The jury is the one that is going to be making the decisions, not the judge.
Mm-hmm.
So why he put judge and jury in there, if you're going to list it, list defense counsel, DA,
yeah.
Judge,
court clerk,
the jury,
random observers.
The jury is the most pivotal group of individuals in your case, whatever the case may be that you are involved in. Okay, so will your recording have a soundtrack? If so, what does that soundtrack say about you as a person and a police officer is the next line. If you listen to music while on duty, that music will be captured on your video. Think carefully about a song lyrics before adding it to your on-duty playlist. Modern music can be profane, sexist, and racist, but don't think that playing oldies or even country music is safe. References to drinking and drugs are common themes across music genres. So are derogatory terms and references to violence. Also keep in mind that if you sing along, your award-winning performance may be played in court one day.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tie my pecker to a tree.
to a tree.
All right. I do have to say, I kind of, a very, very small part of me gets where he's coming from. Mm-hmm. You don't want shit. Like,
yeah, I get it.
First of all, music's not going to be on your body cam unless you've got a personal speaker on your body while you're contacting somebody.
Yeah.
Right. So most likely like a dash cam might have your radio on or right. something you forget, that kind of thing.
Or in the background when you key up your microphone.
Right, right.
But if you are listening to your music that loud.
Yeah.
To where it's cranking.
That's an issue outside of the scope.
That's a different about genre.
Of, yeah, whether or not we should have music at all while on duty.
That is even outside of what he's talking about. Yeah. So he's trying to combine that. Now, we didn't have in-car cameras in our cars. So some departments do.
I did later, yeah.
Some departments do.
Yeah.
Some even have cameras in the back that point to where the suspect is sitting or whatever. Mm.
Yeah, we had 360-degree coverage around our car. Oh, it was really nice, yeah.
So, okay, there was a very common theme that occurred. Sometimes you would get into a car, and you would say to the suspect or defendant or whatever, you'd handcuff them, you put them in the back seat, you say, hey, you know what? I know it's been a rough day for you. We're going to jail. It's not a very long ride. Is there anything you'd like to listen to?
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Yeah, and they say, I've got my iPhone right here. I can pick up whatever you want.
Yeah.
And they could say anything. They say, yeah, you can put on some hip-hop or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. I really appreciate that. And it's like, yeah, sure, man, I'll put it on for you.
Yeah.
So if that's captured on your body camera or whatever, or you tell the defendant, hey, I listen to metal. We're going to be transporting you. Is that okay if I play some tunes?
Yeah.
As a defendant said, yeah, sure, that's fine or whatever. Or go fuck yourself. Then right. Like, oh, okay.
Well, there's also that. There's also the screaming, yelling guy in the back that's kicking and screaming and going crazy. And sometimes music is the only thing that drowns that out, you know.
Or calms him down.
Or calms him down, one or the other. Yeah, we've had those long rides, you know, 45 minutes, an hour with somebody in the back of the car. Yeah. You want him to go to sleep, you know.
But now
an audiobook or something.
Now, we all three of us kind of cross genres, but we each of us have our own niche of stuff that we like. You know, so that's what called being a person,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, but for somebody to start saying, well, you can only listen to easy listening music.
Yeah. Well, and that's what he suggests in the article, right? Making a playlist that's like G-rated.
It's okay for fuck you.
Yeah.
No.
You can only listen to the Lion King soundtrack.
You know, I'll listen to whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, if there's an issue about it, we can ask ASCAP to come to the courthouse and listen to this.
There you go. Yeah.
And decide if you can play the audio at fucking all.
Right. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Besides, I usually had enough common sense to turn whatever it was down, and I didn't want it to. I always wore an earpiece, so that's another thing that he doesn't talk about in here. Is I always wore an earpiece. I had my in-car radio usually turned down and my earpiece turned up.
Yeah. Well, this guy's not going to be in. He's really good at the policy and procedure stuff and all that administration stuff, but he's not going to be in tune with anybody on the street today. Obviously, I mean, he can't even get the verbiage right. You know, as far as body cams and stuff, he's using video recorder and just really antiquated words. That just tells me he's disconnected.
I've got a beta cam duct taped to my head.
Typically the reason why
Betamax
is because I want my earpiece in and my radio turned down. If I have a defendant in the car or suspect, I don't want him hearing what's coming over the chatter.
Yeah.
So that's what I did.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I kind of understand what he's going after, but
that's why I was saying, like, a very small sliver of me gets what he's probably where he was coming from, thinking of this stuff. But the guy gets paid to come up with these types of ideas, right? Yeah. And so he throws it out there, and then people listen to him, and then they create policies about it.
Yeah. Yeah, what's funny?
People are talking about it on podcasts. And
yeah, what's funny is I remember a Gordon Graham video years ago where he's talking about spotting. It was like the problem employee or something like that. And they showed a video of a guy rolling into the parking lot of the police department. Remember this one? He had his hat backwards. He had his window rolled down.
Oh.
And I think he was listening to like Scorpions.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
His sister really loud or something. And he goes, "That's a problem employee."
Oh, my God.
Like going, how do you know?
Yeah. He has this idea of creating like the straight edge look, you know, for a cop, the clean cut, you know, Mulberry Lane bullshit. That's
probably
just not.
Probably no tats or.
No, no. No beard, no facial hair, no tats, you know.
I just, this stuff drives me crazy.
I mean, you
crazy.
Do have to look good while on, like, I get, like, keeping the uniform nice and stuff like that. Like, he talks a lot about that kind of stuff, you know, upkeeping uniforms and, you know, looking
sense.
Sharp, looking
That's
good.
That's common sense.
That's common sense.
Yeah.
Whether or not you're
just not shocking anyone with
right,
that.
Right, right.
That's common sense.
Yeah. I mean, I listen to hip hop. It's one of the things I listen to. And it doesn't, I'm not a bad guy. I listen to metal.
No.
Not a bad guy. I know a lot of people that listen to a lot of what would be considered non-mainstream.
Hardcore.
Hardcore metal, you know, shock rock, that kind of stuff. And they're good people. So
yeah,
I know a lot of terrible people that listen to standard music, you know, oldies, country. You know, I mean, there's a lot of like
Barry Manilow.
Right.
Yeah.
People are just like music. The point is that your choice in music doesn't necessarily speak to your character, whether or not you're ethical or moral.
Right. Yeah.
In my humble opinion.
So, so what do you consider offensive music? Is there music that is offensive? And should
Jazz.
You turn your music down when you're in the car, radio, or transporting someone, or if you're even sitting in your office, should you wear headphones when you're sitting in the office? Depending on where you work. This article really isn't specifically for cops. I mean, this could be anybody that works in an office.
Anybody
that likes to listen to music.
That's true. Any type of public service. I mean, even like healthcare.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
Like that. Do they listen to music at the DMV? Or is it just that elevator shit?
I
think they worship Satan at the DMV. I don't think.
Yeah.
I think during their lunches they go sacrifice.
We have our own office.
I think they do that. Yeah.
We have our own offices. So, yeah, you can have music, but you don't crank it up.
No, I mean, but that's just common, like, courtesy. You wouldn't do that anywhere, really, except for maybe in your home or your car, right?
Through the longest time, like, on Fridays, it was, like, at the end of the pandemic, and I was the only person on the floor.
Yeah.
And I was blasting the Sex Pistols one morning.
Yeah, but there was no one in the building.
Yeah.
Well, somebody came by and they're like, "Oh, I didn't know anybody else was here." I was like, "Oh shit, sorry."
Yeah.
What if you're rolling down,
feeling pretty vacant? Sorry.
What if you're rolling down a busy street at midnight in your patrol vehicle, and you got the windows rolled down, and you're blasting Colors, Colors. I'm a nightmare walking psychopath talking with your arm hanging out the window and just blasting it.
Yeah, that's a noise complaint, right?
Yeah.
You get called on yourself. No, that's,
respond
that's,
to a noise complaint.
That's probably a visit to the sergeant's office if somebody complained, you know. But that's like that's the shit you deal with when it happens, right? That's just boneheaded. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I could see somebody doing that, thinking it's hilarious, and then it's not later.
And it's not funny anymore.
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
But does the music genre matter? Should it matter?
I think it depends on motive. I think like. If you had, you know, 70-year-old grandma on the back and, you know, you're playing, you know, old songs of Too Short about pimping, probably not a good idea, you know. But at that point, are you doing it, like, selfishly or for punishment? I don't know. Like, I think if you're using it as punishment, like playing a song like Don't Drop the Soap by The Offspring, you know, clearly a prison song, Don't Drop the Soap. It's about, you know, getting pegged in prison.
Or Tool.
Yeah, you probably can.
Tool has a song, too, called Prison Sex.
Prison Sex, yeah. I mean, if you're jamming that out, you know, and some people might deserve that ride, you know. I'm not gonna say I did or didn't, maybe back in the day. But,
back in the day.
You know, I think motivation has a lot to do with it.
It does.
On why you're playing it, you know, and I think you have to be more mature than the general public as a cop, you know, to be perceived and taken seriously. So you always kind of have to have that in the back of your mind as well. But just blanketly saying you shouldn't listen to any music, or you should only listen to music that would be, I mean, how are you going to regulate these playlists that you put out?
I guess you could lock the stations out in the car, and you can't stream music. You can only listen to
NPR.
WCOP, top approved radio. Yeah. Yeah, sounds like 1950s.
Right. Yeah, you're just
mall music, Santa
Pat
Mall
Boone.
Music. Pat Boone.
Well, what about this?
It's so wholesome.
What if you're a police officer, you're Muslim, and you listen to Middle Eastern metal, rap, or that kind of music, or any kind of culturally heritage music, and that is captured in the background of one of your clicks on the radio or body camera or whatever it is.
Oh well, yeah.
Or if it gets brought up, you explain it. You know, if you go to court and somebody, the defense attorney or whoever, brings it up.
Oh, I think you're walking on some dangerous fucking ground if you start going down that road.
I don't know. I mean, then you start to get into freedom of expression, freedom of religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's dangerous.
That's where Gordon Graham fucked up on this article.
Yeah, his little four-paragraph article. No.
Doesn't talk
about
that.
I don't think this guy realizes the shitstorm. And there's a little vote click on the link.
Oh, no, I voted.
96% voted that music should not be regulated. 96%. There was like 2% 2%.
No, yeah, it should be regulated. It's out of control.
Yeah. Yeah, one was probably Gordon.
Yeah. And the other was his wife.
No, I
got
his
grandkids on there. You guys got to get on there.
I think that's a very dangerous ground to walk on. You guys know my fucking addiction to Christmas music of the old school style.
Yeah.
Like, I love that shit. I love the Dean Martin, the Frank Sinatra, the Bing Crosby stuff. I love that shit.
I'm dreaming.
I love that shit. And I listen to it all the time. In fact, he thought he was going to submit me for like an M1.
Yeah, I can't stand that.
Something's
shit.
Wrong with it. I can't either. No offense to you. Music is very important to me, and I think it is to all of us.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't get behind that. Now, my partner loves that stuff too. You know, she's all about the,
the
old standards and the crooners.
See, for me, it's a personal experience for me.
Yeah.
Because I don't talk a lot about my childhood on this show.
Right.
About where I grew up and what I grew up in and that sort of thing. I really don't discuss
it
very
much. A childhood?
I did.
I thought you just popped into existence as an adult.
But that music genre of that is a very calming for me.
Yes.
It's, you know, at least the one time a year where I get to hear
stuff. It's nostalgic for you.
So could that be offensive to someone? And it could.
It could.
If I wanted to hear that or listen to
it. Well, especially in today's society.
Yeah. Can you turn that shit off? I hate
has
Christmas
a fucking
music.
Opinion. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like,
eat a dick, bro.
Yeah. Right. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. I'm going to listen to this regardless of your personal preference.
Now, I will say this, though. That's something very interesting that's been happening to me, and I thought I need to go to therapy.
Did you get abducted?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I might have.
Would have been cool if you did.
No. I'm starting to listen to a lot more country. And it's so fucking bizarre.
This has been fun, but I'm out, guys.
No.
I wish I could, dude. I have tried.
I don't understand
How did you do that? How did you get into
son.
It?
It was my son.
Okay.
I found this Chris Stapleton.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
I actually like
He's
Chris
got
Stapleton.
Some great shit.
Yeah, he did a collaboration with Justin Timberlake that I really like.
Now,
go ahead.
I'm not into the whole whiny violin, bluegrass kind of stuff.
Okay.
I'm not into that. I really can't get it. But the Chris Stapleton stuff.
Okay.
There's a couple of veterans that have a country band that I think they're Army Marines and stuff. That's pretty good shit.
Okay.
But seen some pretty good songs.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm not going to go
I'm
out.
I'm slightly
there.
Surprised.
Me too.
Yeah.
I was bummed when Toby Keith died.
Yeah.
I liked him.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never heard anything bad about the guy. He seemed like a pretty decent dude.
Zach Bryant, he's got some good stuff. Yeah, I don't know.
Puke Brian. He's a guy.
I guess you got to give it some shot, man. You got to.
I have tried, dude. I have because I love all genres of music, literally except for jazz and new country. I love old country.
Jazz is hard.
Jazz is hard. Jazz is I have tried very that specific, too. And yeah. I was in jazz band and played the trumpet. Like, I love playing jazz.
Except for the movie about
but listening to it is just.
Yeah. So what shift are you working? So let's take that. So let's say you're working day shift, swing shifts, or graveyards.
Pretty big difference on
depending on where you work at. So if you're working at busy metropolis city.
Sure.
Where you're going, you know, fucking call to call to call, and you're just busy as shit.
Yeah.
Or you're working in a rural setting where it's not quite as busy during the graveyard shift, or even daytime.
Yeah.
You got to have some way to stay awake. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody has ever seen.
When I was working.
He's actually lucky he just got off a graveyard shift.
when I was working graves, I mean, I had like the playlist set up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, dude. I can't imagine if I didn't have music.
In case I couldn't find anything going on, that was going to carry me from the 2 a.m. to 6 a.m.
Absolutely.
You got to have something.
Yeah.
You got to have something to occupy your mind.
I agree. Well, and talk about pre-call on your way to a call. Music can be important. It can be calming. I used a lot of calm music on the way to a hot call. Also, post-call. What kind of music do you listen to bring yourself down?
Right.
You know,
music
is very therapeutic.
Mm-hmm.
And this ass hat doesn't see that.
We used to listen to this ass hat. So let's craft this story for a second. I'm just going to give like a hypothetical story. So you grew up in a small town. You had a pocket of friends. You all hung out together, best friends, small high school. You and your friends decided to form a club and listen to your favorite music, thrash, metal. You all had long hair. Favorite groups were like Slayer, Metallica, Iron Maiden, and on and on. Now,
Megadeth.
Now, you've grown up and you became a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to grow up. You had to get your hair cut. You had to get a job. You had to find a career. But your past has not changed. You're still in that club. You still hang out with those same guys and gals. And you still listen to Slayer, Metallica. Mm-hmm. Hardcore punk and all that stuff in your patrol car.
Yeah.
Because that's where you grew up and that's what you listened to your whole life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you still chat with your buds from back then and they all regret you being a cop, but you know.
Been there. Well, they're totally surprised when they find out, like, what?
Totally surprised.
We used to run from the cops, dude.
You can't just shut that fucking off. You can't just be like, oh, well, you can only listen to the Cars and John Cougar Mellencamp.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. I can only listen to 70s easy listening now. ABBA gets a heavy rotation in my playlist.
I have Barry Manilow, the Candyman, on loop in my car just to creep everyone out when they get in. The Candyman can. The
Candyman can.
Oh, sprinkles man. It with love. Does anybody figure out, is he a pedophile?
No. Barry Manilow?
No. That song really is weird. It's kind of creepy.
I think that was Sammy Davis originally sang that.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Good on you, man.
Nice.
Look at that history coming out
the
right
more
there.
You know.
The more you know. The star across.
But made up some really, really horrible lyrics to that song once.
The Candyman.
I can really, really horrible. Oh,
pretty bad. Nice.
Yeah. Maybe we'll put them up on the site.
There you go.
You should. Did we conclude this as like offensive music? Is there offensive music?
I think you should just use your head.
Does every decade have their category? I can only remember watching Dee Snider walk in to the congressional hearings and give his presentation. And what was awesome, dude, that fucking every time I watch that thing, it makes my hair stand up.
Yeah, it gives me chills.
Because he's presenting to every musician everywhere.
Yeah.
He's standing up for everyone.
Yeah.
And he got a lot of recognition for that.
Unlikely hero, dude.
Yeah.
In the music community.
He basically came out and said, you have no right tell me what I can write about. Or it's the freedom of speech to be an artist.
Yeah.
You know, to sing and write about whatever you want.
Right, right. And this was about censorship in the 80s, right? And like the parental warnings
was a big
stuff
deal.
Came out of that. It was Tipper Gore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. They were trying to control what the band or singer, whatever mm-hmm. was putting on the album.
Yeah. Was it PMRC, the Parents Musical Resource?
Something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That sounds right.
Cuntington?
Yeah, that's accurate. PMRC, yeah. They were trying to blame all of the problems on the youth on music. You know, and then later it was video games, and then they kind of combined the two in the 90s with Marilyn Manson and video games.
And,
you know.
Now women rap artists and male rap artists are all singing about eating pussy and sucking
dick. Cardi B, yeah.
You know why?
Red-ass pussy.
Because it's fucking selling.
It is.
Yeah. It's selling.
Yeah, and like every generation, it's revolutionary. You know, parents fucking hate it. You know, kids listen to it. It's the same as Elvis and the Beatles and Twisted Sister and Quiet Riot. And then, you know, in the 90s, Nirvana and Marilyn Manson, you know, and Nine Inch Nails.
This is what I kind of laugh at. So if you're in your patrol vehicle and you're listening to some song that has pounding pussy in it or eating dick or whatever it is, that's your own fucking fault.
I agree.
That's your own fucking fault.
That's a poor decision. I mean, and if that comes across on dash cam, then you're going to have to explain yourself.
If it's really loud.
And that's a self-correcting problem.
Looking pussy pounded cock.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, yeah.
Well, Your Honor, I'm actually a pimp on the side. And this music reflects exactly who I am as a person. What?
No, it doesn't.
It still doesn't. Like, you shouldn't play that. That ends up on your dash cam, like you said. You're going to have to
do it. Well, yeah, and
it,
you shouldn't be cranking
still
it.
Doesn't speak
you
to
need
who
to
they
be
are.
Able to hear the fucking radio.
Yeah. Right.
And, all right, everybody out there who's a patrol officer, do you patrol with your windows up or down?
Good point.
Yeah. Okay. They better fucking be down.
Better be down. Yeah. At least cracked. Yeah.
At least cracked, especially if you're less and you get in the dead of winter and you may freeze to death.
So
but at least keep them partway open so you can hear what's going on around you.
Yeah. Especially if you're doing neighborhood patrols and stuff like that. You don't want to be cranking music. Have your windows down.
I would usually say that my windows were up when it was cold.
Yeah.
At least mine were.
Yeah.
I can't say for the rest of the windows in the car.
If I was sitting watching traffic, then I would have them up, but like actively patrolling, usually down.
Yeah. If I was cruising through neighborhoods and everything, parking lots, like the windows are down or at least partway down.
Yeah.
Psychological warfare.
Here's my other problem with this article, just real quick. And I want to bring this up before we move on. There's no reference in there. He's not citing any specific incident or court case or.
No.
Right. You know, policy that
was supposition.
Broken. It is complete. That's a good word.
Nice word. Yeah, I think so. I think he's just going off of what he thinks is right.
It's like a random thought that he put out there for the world.
I like waffles.
I like buttered sausage.
This guy sold before you know it. He's going to be sniffing children.
Oh, man.
Wow. Holy shit.
Well, that was out of left field.
Oh, man.
I had to get it in there.
What do you mean I'm president?
Butter sausage. I like butter sausage.
Butter sausage.
I don't know why that video cracks me up every time I see it. Come on. I like butter sausage.
Oh, fuck.
I don't even know what to say.
I get to go to the dentist today after the show.
Oh, fun.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll be putting in some good tunes afterwards.
Yeah.
You should complain about whatever music they're listening to.
I should. I think this should be free.
Yeah.
I'm offended by your music.
Because I have to sit and listen. Can we please not hear Don't Stop Believing again every time I come into the dentist office?
Don't stop.
All right. So now we dive into another controversial topic here, which is going to probably light some fires. So this is also another article from PoliceOne.com as well. This article is titled, What Cops Want, Administrative Betrayal, Why the Silence of Leaders is the Greatest Trauma for Many Law Enforcement Police Officers. I think that's it. I think we just end the show right there.
End the show
after that. I don't think we need to go on anymore.
Good luck and good night.
Good luck and good night. I stumbled across these two articles by pure...
Just by happenstance.
Luck. Yeah, just they popped up. And they're fresh. They're like...
New articles.
Yeah. This one was published on the 14th of this month.
Okay.
So, first of all, I'll just kind of hit this one. So, this one on PoliceOne.com is, like I said, the title is Administrative Betrayal, Why the Silence of Leaders is the Greatest Trauma for Many Law Enforcement Officers. So this article was done by polling over 4,000 police officers across the country and getting their feedback. So in 2023, Police One conducted a sweeping survey of over 4,000 police officers to explore the biggest issues for recruitment and retention in law enforcement. Within the survey results, this latent truth emerges with clarity. It may not be the trauma of the streets, but rather the trauma of administrative betrayal within police departments that is causing police officers to leave in droves. In my work with law enforcement community, I have heard the same truth echoed repeatedly over and over again by countless law enforcement officers in confidential discussions about their greatest traumas. As retired police chief and RAND International Defense researcher Bob Harrison explains, these survey results are not new. As he summarizes, again this year, and a chronic issue in the profession is sustained dissatisfaction within their leaders, although blaming it on the boss exists in all organizations. The need for responsive, motivating, and transformational leaders has never been more acute. Administrative betrayal can take on many forms, leaving officers hyper-vigilant to threats both external and internal on the street and in their own offices within their department. Based on the Police One survey, the factor that has had the biggest negative impact on police officer recruitment and retention since 2020 is media coverage of police issues. The issues cuts to the core of both external and internal threats to police officers today. How does media coverage of police issues become a common source of administrative betrayal? Through leadership, messaging, and even more often, though, the silence of law enforcement leaders is concerning. So basically, what I get out of that is if there's a media presentation on a police officer's conduct, immediately fired.
Yeah.
There's no supporting
administrative. They don't say anything in your defense. They just let you get beat up in the media only to find out later.
So to speak.
Oh, I guess he really didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah. Sorry you have to move your whole family and have all these death threats. And
we can't say anything in your support because people might not like us.
Right.
So when a police officer is getting hammered by the press, he or she is totally undefended in the courtroom of public opinion. When his or her leadership courts the press or remains silent, this becomes an administrative betrayal that causes both trauma and moral injuries probably for years to come. We are not talking about gross negligence
right.
of your duties.
Right.
Where you shoot, you know, and kill.
Yeah, we're not
someone,
talking about
something
bad,
like that.
Bad cops. Yeah, we're talking about
bad cops. We're
people
talking
that
about,
didn't do anything
right.
wrong, or that are later found to be, you know, innocent, so to speak.
Yeah, one of the quotes in here that really kind of stuck out to me when I was reading, and I know you guys read this one too, is there's a thing in here. In many places, police officers are subjected to the same treatment as Vietnam veterans. Mm-hmm. That fucking was wild. I was like, whoa, wait a second. Many police officers feel no better understood or supported than our Vietnam veterans did when they returned. In the Police One survey, just over half of the 4,141 police officers feel that the public does not understand what they do. While police officers were once held in a place of special trust and respect, in current times, many citizens view police officers as guilty by default, even in the absence of any kind of evidence
right.
gathered. This is not a political statement. It's an observation of the state of tension between police and communities they serve.
Right.
Where does the administration fit in on that?
Yeah. I mean, that's a good question. And I think it varies from agency to agency. That's probably part of the problem. You know, in one agency, it's stuff like that is handled differently. You go down the street and it's, you know, complete opposite
right.
at another agency.
Yeah.
You know, some do it right, some don't. I think most agencies have the best of intentions, you know, because most cops are good people, even administrators. I don't say that begrudgingly, but you know.
I think it's going to depend on who's responding to what.
Yeah.
Like which agency.
Yeah.
You know, how they're going to go about it.
I get the blanket statement, though, the Vietnam vet thing. Not to compare cops to Vietnam vets, but as an example, how many people when you first meet them, and you don't know them, do you automatically tell them you're a cop? Or if you're like in a social
usually
setting,
no.
Mm-hmm. You know, like I can remember being a very young cop and learning this lesson early in life. We were on vacation, sitting in a hot tub, hanging out, drinking with a bunch of people at a resort on a beach somewhere. Everybody's talking, having a good time, getting to know each other, and everybody's telling what they do for a living. And my dumb ass tells everybody in the hot tub that I was a cop, and most of the hot tub cleared out within a couple of minutes. You know, and I'm in another country.
It's true.
Like, I'm in another country drinking beer with you. Like, and all of a sudden the hot tub's
vacated. The vibe.
And it just changed. It changed the whole vibe, you know? And so, I mean, I get that to a degree. And then even more so later on, that was young in my career. It was, you know, that pretty naive, but also that was in the early 2000s. So it wasn't as much of a stigma as it was later. It just got worse. It seemed as my career went on where, I mean, I told people that I made up lies about shit that I did for a living, you know? So I work for streets, you know, I work in the government. I would usually do that, like getting a haircut. The perfect example, right? Because I want to make small talk. What do you do? I work for the government. You know, I work in this city. I work for the government. Oh, what do you do? Fuck. Okay, you want specifics? I work for streets. I can bullshit my way because I know enough street department guys, you know, to say that I work for streets.
That's true.
You know? So... I mean, I get that side of it.
Yeah, no, I think that's a definite thing that we've all experienced over our careers. Yeah. That, you know, it's unfortunate that you have to hide your career.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you're talking to a stranger.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're a firefighter, you're just like, well, I'm a firefighter. Everybody's like, oh, can I suck your dick?
Oh, this haircut's free, sir.
This haircut's up.
Yeah. I want to suck your dick and give you a cookie.
Oh, I work on the ambulance. Oh, this... What's your friend do over there? Oh, he's a cop.
Oh, yeah.
He's a cop.
Oh, he has to leave.
We
don't do haircuts for cops here. There's a barber shop down the street. That's a blue barber shop. All the blue boys go in there.
First off, I'd like to point this out. I've never been in or among command staff. Wait, that didn't make any sense. I have been among command staff, but I've never been a commander myself. But I have spent years of interacting with upper management individuals, command staff, supervisors for many, many years. I have had countless number of discussions and conversations with leaders from all different types of organizations and had in-depth discussions with other individuals from other organizations outside of law enforcement regarding leaders and the problematic, toxic atmosphere they create. Over and over again. I hear it over and over again. In law enforcement, out of law enforcement.
Yeah, everywhere, right?
From whatever business you're in, it's common.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are all leaders toxic? Well,
no.
No. No, but at different levels, we are subject to scrutiny from different people.
Yeah.
At different times in our career. We've all faced it. We've all seen it. We've all been at the butt end of it. I think there's a division, and there always has been, and there always will be. The problem becomes electric when leaders have problems seen past their desk, and they make changes, and they stay silent when change requires leaders to step into the line of fire, or stay quiet to protect their desks, or their plaque, their name on their desk.
Yeah.
So they're just in it for themselves.
Yeah.
So they want to hold, you know, their command position or whatever it is, no matter what the cost.
Right.
So they don't know. Most of them don't care. And I will say this with experience. Obviously, there is individuals that do care. I am working for individuals in that capacity right now that will step out of the way.
Right.
Step in front of the bus for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of them will not.
Yeah.
Most will not.
Right.
So the decision maker to me is the leadership quandary. Supervisors who think they are leaders, achieving the rank of supervisor does not make you a leader. Come on. Get over your fucking self. You're not that fucking great.
Yeah.
Just because you achieved rank by whatever means you did or tests you took, you know, whatever thing you doesn't mean you're a leader.
Right.
You have a title. You're a commander.
Yeah.
You're a sergeant. You're a lieutenant. You're a chief. You're a division chief.
Yeah.
Whatever title it is, you have a title. That doesn't mean you're a leader.
Right.
But you can tell who the leaders are within those departments because people often go to them.
Pretty quickly,
For advice.
The leader may not have an official command rank either.
No.
Yeah, that's true too.
No.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's very true.
That talk, man, there is so much discussion about that that fuels a lot of arguments. That there is a lot of individuals that think as soon as they achieve the rank, oh, I'm a leader.
Yeah.
No, you're
change
not.
Things.
You're a supervisor.
In my image.
You're a supervisor. You're yeah. not a leader.
Right.
You smell like rancid bacon grease.
Don't confuse the two. Right. Don't confuse the two. Don't get the fucking confused.
Right.
Because you're going to make a fool of yourself mm-hmm. when you think that you're a leader.
Yeah. Well, you know it when you see it. I've had a leader to put their neck on the line for me, but I've also had them not. So
right,
I guess. Yeah, I guess what you're saying is true, even from personal experience. So I'm sure it's true across the board.
We've experienced both sides of that. I think we all have.
Yeah,
kind of fucking yeah. have been on the end of that thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
So there's part two of this thing here, in this freaking article says. Police officers have no voice when they are under investigation, even when they have not violated policy or professional ethics.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So when critical incidents trigger mandatory investigations, police officers are totally undefended in the court of public opinion. They have no voice. Mm-hmm. This is unique when private citizens find themselves part of a legal investigation or media attack. They can advocate for themselves. They can hire legal representation. They can share their story with the media. They can talk to their trusted colleagues. Police officers can't.
Yeah.
After a critical incident, they can be put under investigation, and prohibited from speaking to anyone. The public does not understand these rules and restrictions because they are not subject to them. And police officers' silence can look like guilt.
Yeah. I mean, it creates a lot of fear and uncertainty.
Public.
Right?
Right. It does.
Yeah.
It does. So whenever
even
there's
as a witness.
Yeah. So whatever your involvement is or whatever it is in an IA, which mm-hmm. is an internal affairs investigation, right. whatever the case, I'm not going to get into any cases or anything like that. Yeah. I'm just going to say you're involved in an IA.
Right. Right.
If you've ever been read Garrity before, mm-hmm. which I'll put a link to that on the show notes, what that means.
Yeah.
It's a pucker factor, man.
It is.
It's fucking bizarre.
Yeah.
It's like you, like, wait a second. Why am I being read this?
You're compelled to answer questions. Yeah. You can't be held criminally liable for those answers. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It's very, very weird.
Yeah.
It's like you feel like you're being investigated for a non-crime.
Non-crime crime. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what is even happening?
It's stressful. It is stressful.
Yeah, it is stressful.
In an IA heavy agency, you're going to have a lot of turmoil internally, for sure. Just because of that stress factor alone, regardless of the content of the IAs, you know, whether they're legit or not, or they rise to the level of IA or not, you know, there's always discussion about that. But just the fact that you're being investigated, or you're a witness to an investigation, or the subject of the victim of, say, something internally, you know, that's stressful. You know, you're isolated. You're on an island. You can't talk about it. You know, you talk about it. It's, you know, you lose your job. I mean, it's that serious, you know, and forget bringing a lawyer in, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, that fear is a major motivating factor for people. Right. And how many times have we seen people that were stuck in this type of position where they feel isolated, they're alone, they're afraid, and they lawyer up because they get some bad advice from somebody or for whatever reason. And that's like a death sentence. I mean, that's an instant. And I saw it firsthand. Like, you get a lawyer and you're done. Like, they'll figure out a way. Like, no, it's okay. You want a lawyer? Fuck you.
Yeah.
We'll play it by the book.
So if you're a patrol officer or detective or whatever you have, that you're on the street level, mm-hmm. Whatever agency, you have your own core values. Mm-hmm. And what you're trying to protect if you're involved in an IA. If you're in a command staff position, you have your core values. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, if that person is under your supervision or whatever, mm-hmm. most of the commanders and sergeants and stuff that I've known are guided by policy written by the commander's chief and everything above them, mm-hmm. council, whatever it may be, mm-hmm. has passed those policies down.
Right.
So they're guided by two different things.
Mm-hmm. Motivations.
So, Yeah. So police officers are guided for self-preservation, their career.
Right.
You know, trying to protect themselves, whereas the commanders and such in that realm are also protecting themselves. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, supposedly the agency is what you hear, the agency.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
protect the department.
When you go out there on the street, you are representing this police department. Mm. We expect your conduct.
And you are. I mean.
You are, but you're also a fucking human.
Right.
And you're also a person.
Right.
You're not just this goddamn robot.
Yeah. And that's the point of this whole podcast, right?
Yeah.
Humanize the badge.
You're not a robot.
Yeah.
You're fucking going out there on the street. You're doing your job. You're doing the best you can.
Right,
you know,
right.
You fuck something up. You screw up. And you are going to screw up.
People make mistakes. Oh, yeah.
You are
going to end up in an investigation. You are going to end up fucking up.
And if you don't, it means you're not getting out of your car.
Right.
You're just sitting in there all day.
Yeah.
And you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Because if you don't find yourself involved in an IA or is subjected to an IA, you're not doing your fucking job.
Yeah.
Because
I think the commanders need to remember, too, that the stress people are under when they're under these investigations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe this is what you do all the time.
Yeah.
This is easy for you.
Yeah.
Look, don't talk about it. You're going to get fired.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to do this. You need to do this.
This is my 250th IA. Yeah.
It's not a big deal to them because they know, okay, this officer screwed up a little bit. He's probably going to get a letter in his file.
Yeah.
The officer doesn't know that.
Right.
This is the end of the world for them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
And the procrastination. Can we talk about that, too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because it's a chore. It is. Yeah. It's a fucking chore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were going to be done with the investigation, but so-and-so was going on vacation. And
you have to wait 2 weeks to know whether or not you have a job.
I have a dinner appointment. And somebody's got to write this up. So it'll probably be like a month.
Yeah.
There's also the silent discussions that go on in front of your back.
Yes.
As we call it.
The silent discussions in front of your back. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a perfect way to put it.
That is.
I've been that on both
causes
sides of that door.
So many problems.
Mm-hmm.
So many issues. Whereas just fucking addressing it or the slamming of network-wide emails for one person.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like the supervision just, 101, right, of praise in public and correct in private goes out the window. I mean, you learn that day one in any supervisor class, any leadership book, you know, and that's like right out the window.
It's fucking ridiculous. It gets out of hand. It's just like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and here they talk about this part of the end of this thing. It's called Got Your Six.
Yeah.
So here's six things, or not, to close with this article here that these guys are talking about. Here are six examples of things leaders can say to assert and hold this boundary during media coverage of police issues or whatever it may be. The first one says an active investigation does not mean that a police officer is guilty or that there is a suspicion of wrongdoing on the part of the police officer. So basically,
that's an easy statement.
Doesn't mean you're guilty.
Yeah.
You know, there is a certain responsibility.
We're going to treat you that way.
There is a certain responsibility of a police department to do an investigation off of an internal affairs insight that may have come in, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you called a citizen a bad name or you told them to go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
Or they were filming, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everybody has. You do it long enough, you know.
You just tell the truth.
Again,
you say, yeah,
human,
I said that.
You know, human. Everybody has a bad day. And that goes for leaders, too.
Yeah.
We're not talking about that, though. Like, one-time mistakes.
So a simple example of this, of that first line there, is you're interacting with somebody and they're videotaping you. And they're not involved in the crime or whatever you're doing. You're trying to detain somebody for whatever crime it may be.
Yeah.
And they keep trying to interject themselves into the situation, and they're filming on their cell phone.
Yeah.
And you're trying to handcuff somebody, you know, and you turn to them and you say, can you fuck off, please?
Yeah.
Can you just go fuck off somewhere?
Yeah.
And then you get them under control. And then that's when they file a complaint. They send a video to the sergeant.
If you're smart, you tell on yourself.
Yeah, right.
I always did. Sarge, you might be getting a complaint.
Yeah. And the complaint comes in. Yeah. When that happens, 90% of the time, they're going to start an IA.
Right, right.
Start an investigation.
Yeah.
And then this is where the silent leadership thing becomes an issue.
Yeah.
Because immediately you have a target on your back. Oh, this guy's a problem cop. Now, if this is your 14th complaint.
Sure. Then that's a problem.
That might be.
Or even
issue.
Third or fourth.
Yeah. Or third or fourth or whatever.
Sure. But at first, yeah.
You know, but if it comes in and you say, hey, you know what? Yeah, I said that. You know, I'm trying to arrest somebody and they keep filming me, getting in my way. They're telling me that, you know, you're violating his rights and all this sort of thing. And they're filming me and trying to get in my face. And I told them, you know, to go fuck off somewhere. You know, yeah, I said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said that.
Where do I sign my write-up? I have a stamp.
And the next one, the next quote here is as a matter of department policy, we also open up an investigation after any critical incident to ensure that we give thoughtful examination of how events unfolded. That's kind of a fancy way of saying, yeah, we're going to investigate your ass.
Yeah.
Thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to investigate the complaint.
Yeah.
We've got the person's cell phone video telling you, telling them to go fuck off. Yeah. We've got that. We're going to talk to them. We're going to talk to other witnesses make sure.
Is this more about critical incidents? And
yeah, it can be. It can apply.
Sure. I mean, sure. If there's a critical incident, you expect to get investigated.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you don't expect to have somebody gunning for you.
Yeah.
Because they never had the fucking stones to be in a position to be put like that themselves.
Right.
Because they've made an entire career writing behind a fucking desk.
Right. Right.
Have you ever seen those videos? The videos of the dude that's going around? I can't remember what part of the country he's in, but he's filming police officers.
Yeah.
Have you seen that guy?
Yeah. He's First Amendment. Whatever.
Yeah. What do they call him? That guy's a fucking idiot.
I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember the guy's name.
Yeah.
We had one guy in the bigger agency that I worked for that was nationally known for like parking out in front of the courthouse and doing just goofy shit. And he would do that too. He'd show up on a traffic stop.
Oh, yeah. We had to
complain about how bright the lights are and are those lights standardized? And then he had a buddy that would be filming and
baby rapers. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Who the fuck was that dude?
Yeah.
No. Never mind. I'll skip that.
This was the same guy that would have the signs like all around the metro area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
I remember that guy.
Yeah, we had to deal with him. He was fun. He was interesting.
Most departments have policies in place that don't allow you to speak to the media.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if you do that yourself,
which is a good thing, probably.
You're probably a dumb fuck.
Yeah.
So if,
and we're not
like a news channel comes up to you and says, oh, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me tell you my opinion.
Let me tell you my opinion.
I'm going to crack this case myself. It's a quadruple homicide.
There's a chief sitting there going, oh, fuck, oh, fuck.
Your name tag says that you started in 2024.
Well, he's done it now.
Somebody get him off the television.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
I don't know what to do with my hands. It's so good.
Talladega Nights.
Yes, classic.
So now this one is what you referred to before. As any time there is a critical incident, there are several media reports, some of which will be based on facts and others that are based on unproven speculation. Let's resist forming baseless opinions that are not based on facts. So don't go in front of the press. Don't tell them shit that you don't know.
Yeah.
So if your chief, your director, or whatever it is, wherever you work at, says to you, yeah, we got to go on camera with this because, you know, this is the fourth girl that's been found dead.
Yeah.
So we need you, since you're the lead person on this, to go on camera and make a statement. Don't say anything stupid.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, make up shit just to scare everyone. Make sure you just stay to the, you know, the facts and don't give anything out.
Right.
That's kind of what I think that's kind of focusing on is just don't,
that makes sense.
Just don't be fucking dumb.
Yeah.
This last quote here about what a leader should say says, I am committed to upholding the ethics of just and fair investigation process in cooperation with the police officers involved in the case who have been personally impacted by the event.
There you go.
So, wow, gosh.
That's food goes good. In here.
Wait, that means you're going to treat everybody equal?
Yeah.
Well, that's a thought.
Yeah, there you go.
Holy shit.
Gosh, we have to do that, but nobody has to do that for us. It's so weird.
Yeah, isn't that strange?
That's strange. All right, gentlemen, we are going to jump over to the Detective's Corner.
Time for the Detective's Corner.
So, So today's Detective's Corner, we are talking about the difference between policy, procedure, and logical decision-making, how a police policies are written using common sense, community input, and outside influences. Maybe one police officer was witnessed making a mistake. A policy has been written about you.
Ah, yes.
Uh-huh. So I got this from this little article here from the office, U.S. Department of Justice, Office of Justice Programs. So put it in writing, the police policy manual. This is just a basically abstract of it. A police policy and procedure manual instructs departments, employees, and the community and the goals of the police department and how it plans to meet them. The policy manual can be used to inform departmental personnel of their responsibilities, to outline acceptable procedures to follow, to establish general performance standards, and to establish consistency among employees. That's basically, we all know it.
Yeah.
You know, we had on our other podcast the other day about Lexapol.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a policy.
Policy and procedure system. Writer system.
Yeah, system.
Yeah.
And sometimes they send out fucking emails to you.
Oh my God.
That
so
you have to
policies.
Click on it, that you read the policy. Yeah. And some of them have like a little
you
test.
Have to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Test
yeah,
Lexapol, that's
one or
thank
two
you,
question
Gordon
test.
Graham. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And even
to prove that you read it.
Even the command staff was starting to get irritated.
Yeah.
Because they.
Nobody takes it serious, man.
Because they. Oh, God. Some
it's
of those
just something you
so
have to
stupid.
Do. Yeah.
You have 39 policies. I cleared them out.
Right. Right.
I was done. How do I have 39 all of
yeah.
a sudden?
And the useless policies. Like.
And if you work in a division.
Yeah. 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 That's exactly right. Marine boat division. We had no. Yeah. We had to read the policy twice a year on, you know. Native American burial grounds. There's no Native American burial grounds within 500 miles of where we live.
Yeah.
Like, why are we reading policy on that? Like, just goofy.
Yeah, it's
shit.
Just weird you know? Stuff.
But yet nobody knows how to fucking handcuff anybody. What?
Right.
Could tell you about Native American burial grounds, but I don't know how to handcuff anybody because that's not important.
Problem.
I'm not angry.
I'm not angry. I'm just disgruntled.
Just disgruntled. All these years later.
The problem I think you
really
see...
Not.
The problem I think you see with this kind of stuff, like policies, and that where you have departments that are policy heavy,
yeah,
like where everything has a policy,
right?
Like how long your lunch break is,
yeah.
has a policy.
Yeah, you can get too policy heavy, and then you end up creating an environment where everybody's violating policy,
yeah,
because you have too many policies, and again, you can't live like a robot,
right? And it just you know, you can only handcuff somebody following these policy guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. But if they're resisting and things don't go to plan anymore.
Right.
Need to have one of those quarterback things on your arm.
You know, yeah, which
little playbook
which arrest control technique
yeah.
do I use?
Let's see. Yeah. I can go through Red Zinger 23X.
Yeah, call that up. Okay. Red Zinger 23X. Okay. Red Zinger 23X.
I'm calling an audible, guys.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Red Zinger 23X.
And then you have some officers who are don't want to do anything so badly they carry around their policy manual with them to
right
use well, policy. I can't do that per this policy.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Why
don't you smart ass. Yeah.
Fucking go sit on the side of the road for
right.
a while.
Right.
Let everybody else work.
Yeah.
I think if you've memorized your department's policies, you have a fucking issue.
Yeah, I've known a couple.
I think if you've crossed
those
that
are
line,
usually problem employees.
Yes.
Like we can safely say that like those, yeah, those are people looking for something.
If you go out and conduct yourself in a responsible, ethical fashion, I think you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
If you go out and act like a fucking clown and an idiot and pissing people off and saying dumb shit on the on your pack set.
Yeah.
You know, which we've witnessed all of that above.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to go out and...
Can you give a description of the suspect? Yeah, he's wearing a white wife beater. Oh, my God. You just said that on air.
What about when somebody says, true story, calls out on the radio and says, can you describe the vehicle you're behind? And they say DWA.
Yes.
Driving while...
Yeah.
Asian.
Yeah.
Oops. Yeah, the guy said that on the radio.
He did say that. Yeah. That guess what? There's a policy written after you now.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we have to fire you.
Yeah.
Driving while Asian.
You're a stupid person.
You're a stupid person.
Yeah. Yeah, not no bueno, man.
You're DWS, driving while stupid. Yeah. Now you don't have a job.
Yeah.
You hear stuff about that. You hear DWE, you know.
Driving while elderly.
Yep.
Yeah, driving while
old. You hear
old.
That one. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, there's other ones. Yeah. There's other ones.
Yeah.
That are out there. That's why policies get created.
Yeah, they do. So it's really a catch-22. Right? Because we're sitting here bitching about policies, but we also see the need for them.
You do see the need.
If you aren't sure what the policy is on something, act in a way that's not going to violate anybody's rights. You're not going to put anybody in danger or yourself. You're not going to harm any property or anything. And you're probably going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I made some pretty big mistakes during my career. I think we all have, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they ended up being okay, you know?
Well, the story I heard about policies, and this is kind of a funny way to look at it, is why we had to invent stop signs. Because not everybody that's in a car is smart.
Right.
No, there's
some of them. If you had everybody intelligent driving a car, you wouldn't need stop signs.
Right.
Because an intelligent person would naturally slow down before they came to a four-way intersection and look for other cars.
Make sure it's clear.
Yeah. Make sure it's clear before they moved on.
Yeah.
That's why you had to make stop signs.
Right.
That's why you have to make policies, because I'm going to shock you with a little statement here. Not every police officer you hire is smart. Some of them are fucking dumb as rocks.
Or morally sound.
Or morally sound.
Yeah, for that matter.
Or can't keep their dick in their pants.
Or oh, that. Right on cue. Fucking monster over there. Or they can't get their dick.
That's a true story, man. That's fucking
like a baby
true
holding
story.
An apple.
Yeah, it's a true story. I think cops that go around doing shit like that or, you know, picking up chicks. Is chicks still a word?
Chicks.
I can't believe I said that.
Yeah.
Was that from the 80s?
That sounds rad, dude.
Is that from the 80s?
I used to get mad when people's wives would call me looking for them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
or calling the PD.
Or calling the PD.
Because their significant other told them that they were on duty, and they're not.
Yeah, he's not here.
True story.
Yeah.
Hey, could you cover? Nope. You are not going to get me involved in that shit.
Yeah.
That is not part of my life. Fuck you.
No, right. Or when you have other patrons or employees of other establishments, like places where you have
businesses.
To go do bar checks and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Asking you where so-and-so officer is.
Yeah.
All the time.
That has happened.
Can you tell him to call me?
Can you tell him to
call
me, please?
He hasn't called me in a week. I don't know what to do. Like,
nope, not getting
involved
in that.
I smell an IA. I don't know you. Who are you? Print caller.
Run away.
Is this a recorded line? God damn it.
and we're talking external right now as far as this detectives corner go. We're talking external.
External.
We also have internal shit that goes on that gets investigated internally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're not talking about critical incidents. We're talking about internal shit that happens within your agency.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck that may be.
Yeah.
That gets brought into an IA.
Yeah. And that can eat away
disgruntled
an
employees.
Slowly. Yeah.
Employees that hate each other. Employees that don't want to work on the same shift with another person. Employees that are fucking each other.
You made this officer feel bad about themselves.
Yeah.
They feel sad.
No, I told him that he violated that person's Fourth Amendment rights is what I did.
I'm sorry.
I also called him an idiot. Yeah. Okay, I did call him an idiot.
My bad.
Yes, it was in front of the victim and the suspect.
Oh, I'm so sorry. All right. Thank you very much for joining us on that Detective's Corner. All right. So we're going to head into the we kind of had a weird show format today. So we're going to kind of go into the conclusion here.
A weird format.
Yeah. Weird. Yeah. We did.
Got weird, dude.
I think we need to start writing policies for the podcast on how to conduct our show.
You can open up an IA.
You can open up an IA. Internal podcast investigation and IPI.
Yeah. An IPI.
I'm going to have to launch an IPI into this.
No.
So in conclusion here, whether you're listening to your favorite song during a slow grinding night shift or grinding away at your job, whatever it is you do, we are humans, all of us, police officers and non-police officers. We love music. We have ups and downs. We have terrible shifts. And in some cases, experience hard things most people will never experience their entire lives. To sit down in your patrol vehicle or in your office and be able to listen to your favorite band or song after a trying experience can make a huge difference. I think the argument is one of the ages. Your music is offensive and you shouldn't be allowed to listen to it in your patrol car, especially with a suspect in the back seat of your vehicle.
Well, allow me to shit on your desk.
Yeah. Screw you.
Lonely Island.
Lonely Island. Maybe you are afraid of what your command staff might say or do, or maybe what they won't do, or how they will behave and react to you, or a person who calls in logs a complaint against you. I am not supportive of the kind of music your officer is listening to when they arrested me, and I found it very disrespectful and offensive. Should it matter? Does it matter?
No.
I think it shouldn't.
No. I'm still picturing shitting on somebody's desk.
I don't think that would be a good idea.
No. I think it would now. I could do it now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't get fired.
I wouldn't get fired. No, I could probably get charged. I could take the heat.
What are you going to do, run ballistics on it?
Yeah, right? Yeah, you're going to get a DNA swab there. Yeah.
DNA swab. Are you a supervisor, a leader, or are you a supervisor who thinks they are a leader? Do you Legend call yourself a leader and call yourself a supervisor, but can you lead? Is a leader the same as a supervisor? Not always an equal experience. No. Not all supervisors have the ability to lead or be leaders. They hold a position, a spot, a title, and they cannot lead. But they lead by policy. Maybe they lead by quoting conditions or quoting other people who have written those policies, or ways for you to improve is all they can give you.
Well, that's how the Gordon Graham thing would go down. I can paint a picture for you exactly how it would work. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A couple of commanders, sergeants, whatever you want to be, go to a Gordon Graham seminar, and he brings this music stuff up and plants the thought in their mind.
Oh, well, he's right.
That we should think about this. So that comes back to your local agency, and it gets brought up in a staff meeting, an email, whatever it might be, meeting with the chief, and then it's a discussion. At that point, the snowball is already rolling.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Because once it's a thought in somebody's brain and that it might be a good idea.
Now we're having a meeting about it.
Now we're having a meeting about it. Eventually it's going to be tried.
Yeah.
Effective immediately. All officers
shall
refrain from playing music in their cars.
That drives me crazy.
Unless it's Hank Williams.
It's such a personal experience. And I think it's frustrating on so many levels, because if you have a problem child, mm-hmm. you know, employee that's causing you all sorts of fucking issues, mm-hmm. music is probably not the issue.
Right.
There's going to be other
right
problems.
That's yeah. exactly the point.
It's yeah. not going to be
you
the
can
music.
Address.
Yeah.
Instead of.
Yeah.
If music listening is your only issue with that person, they're not a problem.
Right.
They're not an issue.
Yeah.
But it's probably not going to be it. There's probably going to be other things that you're going to see.
Absolutely.
That are yeah. going to be guide their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So the Gordon Graham thing is off base, I think.
Effective immediately.
Yeah, I think he fucked up.
All officers are prohibited from having funny ringtones on their phone.
Don't even get me started. You can't have gunfire sounds on your phone. It's offensive.
Yeah.
Some people are triggered by the gunfire
yeah.
sound.
No, Well, you can eat a dick.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's out there.
It's out there. You know that. You know it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like tattoo policies. You know, like we had a good example of this kind of thinking. We didn't have a tattoo policy for the longest time. And then somebody got hired that had Celtic Design tattoos on their arms.
Yep.
And
yeah.
the powers that be decided that could be misinterpreted as racist.
Right.
Yes, because Celtic crosses are... often racist.
Yeah, these people have never held an ADL brochure or attended an or read an ADL email. Like, it's not like yeah. I'm not even going to go down that road. But yeah,
so
it's
was
the same. It's the same thinking.
So I was going to call. I was working patrol. I was with a group of individuals, police officers. Multiple cops had responded to this particular incident, and we're in the elevator. Whenever I would start a shift, I would put my phone on silent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I didn't want it as a distraction in the background, especially if you're trying right. to sneak up on somebody and your yeah. phone rings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the phone goes off, and there's at least four of us standing in the elevator. The ringtone goes off, and it's a girl getting banged. And you could hear, she's like, and that was the ringtone.
Whoops.
Wow.
And I was like, oh.
That was and an, I kinda that was looked an around, officer?
Yeah. Pulls the phone out, kind of swipes it. And I was like, and I was like, hey, you want to put that on silent?
Yeah.
Like, you want to silent that?
Yeah, see, that's a problem. It's like, but see, that's the type of like person that doesn't have the thought that this could go off with body cameras on. This is exactly why Gordon Graham gets the fucking idea, right?
That was my one point person, I was going to make. It yes, fucks it up for everyone.
Everybody.
It fucks it up
everybody,
for everyone.
Just because you're an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm going to drop your phone down the shaft now.
Oh,
just because you're a goddamn dumb fuck. It's so
frustrating,
fuck. It's like, what yeah, do you... What? The fuck was that?
Yeah. And then at that point, that's where I do yeah, have to give kudos to some leaders, the good leaders, because they see the stupidity, you know, and they know what's coming down the pipe. Yeah. And a lot of times they can't stop it either.
Well, and you don't have
so
to.
So sometimes
have a policy
their
over
hands
this,
are tied. Right, right.
You can just address it with the officer. Hey.
Yeah.
You're an idiot. Take that off your fucking phone.
Right, right.
You're a dumbass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some will use music as their ringtones. Mm-hmm. Someone used voices or actors from films or whatever it may be. There was a time, and I will say this, because I had an Android once before I got my iPhone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And yeah, me too. And I had Scarface as my ringtone. I think you all remember that. Say hello to my little friend.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And that was my ringtone.
Okay.
But I silenced it at work.
Sure.
So it wouldn't. It wouldn't play.
And that's a risk you take. Like, if you yeah, forget to silence it, that's a risk you take, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah. But as we go on this conclusion here, so I've had the experience to be under supervision of supervisors who is also a leader. The only thing I can say the first time I experienced was when I was struggling and having issues and heard the words, hey, just checking in on you, making sure you are doing okay, and asking me if I was good.
Yeah.
That really hit home for me. And followed by the words, I support your decision on this case. I trust your experience and knowledge. Mm-hmm. You make the decision and I will back you up.
Yeah.
Huge, gigantic. That's
major
leadership.
The last mm-hmm, chief I worked for was like that.
Yeah.
And I wish I had an opportunity to work longer for her, but she was that way.
So look to yourself. If you have the opportunity to find yourself in a seat of a supervisor or a leadership role, as they would say, how will you lead and who will you be? Mm. That's kind of the way I wanted to end that.
Yeah,
but
it's good
but
stuff,
there too, are leaders out there who are supervisors,
mm-hmm,
and they yeah, do a great fucking job.
They exist, yeah.
And they exist, they and do, they do really well.
They do. Unfortunately, they're usually pretty quiet. You know, it seems anyways. They're far hard to find in my
yeah
experience, but they are out there.
The biggest quote I have that I wasn't sure I was going to end this with is when I had a supervisor sit me down once during an IA, and they said to me these words, if you make me look bad, I will hold you accountable. That was the words they used.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That is
I shouldn't be surprised.
Bad.
Wow. Yeah.
That is not something you should be saying. That is a horrible thing to say to someone.
Yeah. In a position of power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like your buddy, right?
And the most infuriating part about it, I wasn't even the subject of the IA. I was not even the subject. It wasn't even me.
Yeah.
I was just a witness.
Yeah.
That was a startling moment for me. They didn't start the recorder then. They waited after they made that comment before right, they started the recorder.
Right.
Which is unfortunate because I have no proof to back
no,
that up.
Oh, no.
Whereas I started the recorder usually before I walked in the room.
I yeah, learned that lesson very quickly. I learned that lesson to record my own
yeah,
sessions to protect myself.
And you yeah, don't have to advise them of it.
No. Uh-uh.
They're already nope, recording, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That was a lesson I learned shortly after that experience that I should record it. Today's show, I'm sure gonna light some fires.
Probably.
Probably will.
Yeah.
But hey, send us off your email to detectorvsm@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter, Instagram. Why do I keep saying Twitter? On X,
Instagram. I think we should pronounce it like the Mayans pronounce X. They pronounce X ish.
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 Ish. Instagram, TikTok, giddy up. head to our website, detectiveredassume.com, and you can find yourself some merchandise on there. Click on a link, and you can also directly email us from the website as well and look for gifts to be put. Do we call them gifts or memes? Memes.
Memes.
Memes. Memes. Gifts. Gifts are the video.
This one
memes
actually
are the still images.
This current one actually has a link to it.
Nice.
It does, yeah.
Did you check it?
Some do. I haven't checked that one yet.
This is good.
Some the one you put up there though, I wish you would have put a what is wrong with me? I wish you would have put a link to the Bass Pro Shop naked swimming guy. That was the picture alone didn't do the story justice. If there was a link and they could actually read this fucking crazy guy.
Yeah, X liked it.
Yeah, it was funny. All right, so thank you very much for joining us on today's show.
Okay, yeah. Go on the website, click on the meme, click on the link. It's fantastic.
All right. Yeah, so go to the website, click on the meme. You'll love it. You guys have an awesome week. Kick ass in life, take names, live, love, and laugh every day.
Be ungovernable.
But I thought you changed that.
I'm back to it now.
I thought you said Be governable.
Be governable.
I think it was under certain circumstances.
It depends on my mood.
Certain circumstances.
I'm a little fired up today. I think today's an ungovernable day.
It depends on the music you're listening to.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I'm going to go put on some Rage Against the Machine.
Be governable if you're listening to country.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
All right, you guys have an awesome week. See y'all. Bye.